TxDOT and Texas A&M AgriLife are trying to support the PASS program, like Jimmy said. That's the person appointed to stay sober. That's not the person that's had the least amount of alcohol. A lot of people think that the designated driver is the one that's drank the less, but it's really the person that's drank zero. During the summer months, we have more fatalities and more crashes because people are out having a good time, going to the lakes, going to the ocean, you know, hanging out with friends at the barbecue, and they're drinking more, and ultimately they're having more crashes, more fatalities, more injuries, and we're just trying to encourage people to appoint someone so that they don't end up in that condition.
I'm sure that also could apply. I know that the main target's going to be those who are under the influence of alcohol, but summertime too, there's a lot of fatigue drivers out there as well.
Yeah, that's correct. They don't want to leave the lake. They're tired. They're having a good time, and they push themselves, and they've been out in the sun. That's got them a little dehydrated, and that makes them a little bit more tired, so it does play into it.
I'm going to throw another state agency at you, too, since we're talking about summer fun, and that would be your parks and wildlife people. Every once in a while, I will see a boating while intoxicated arrest made.
Yes, sir. They're busy, absolutely busy this time of year. This is even the ones that don't have lakes, they'll have different programs where they'll bring extra game wardens in to patrol the area lakes to make sure everybody's boating safely and definitely not under the influence or too much on the influence while operating a boat. So they're out there, and it's their busy time of year also.
Anything else that we need to cover on PASS?
No, just make plans before you start drinking so that plan is already in place, you know, so you've already handed over your keys to a friend that doesn't drink. And just take turns being that sober driver so you don't have to be the person that doesn't drink at every party, but just, you know, flip a coin, pick out who's not going to drink that night, who's going to be the designated driver so that everybody stays safe.
All right. Continuing with some other things on Jimmy's agenda here, one regarding pedestrian fatalities.
Yes, I was just listening to your earlier broadcast with the constable and stuff. It seems like the last month there's been a ration of pedestrian autos on the highways. A lot of these people are breaking down, changing flats or whatever it may be, and they're on the side of the roadway, and they're getting hit. So I actually stopped some people this weekend to help out. And what I would encourage people to do is try to get off the road as much as you can. If you see a spot that you can get to and get completely off the roadway, it's the safest thing to do. If you find yourself on the side of the roadway and you really don't feel safe, back on your driver license, there's a number to call us, or on the back in your inspection certificate that has an 800 number, 525-5555. That will go to our nearest dispatch, and they will dispatch a trooper to that area. At least you'll have some type of emergency vehicle behind you with some kind of lighting and stuff to help you, whatever your problem might be, to make it a safer environment. So take advantage of that number if you find yourself stranded over the summer months.
And again, that's on the back of your driver's license
and your inspection certificate.
And that also then applies to your passing motorists once you guys are out there, or another agency of that move-over.
The move-over law would be in effect. So we would definitely get that traffic moved over to a different lane other than where we're at. So a lot of these crashes, 10% of all pedestrian fatalities in the United States happen on our interstate highways, our roadway system, where people are getting struck. 80% of them are after dark, or during the darkness hours. So just be careful out there, and just in case if you find yourself in one of these situations.
Okay, next, dealing with those who are hauling hay.
Yes. Visited with a gentleman last week, had him stop. Some of these new hay trailers being built out of state, this particular brand was, has the dual wheel tandem axle underneath these hay trailers. Our law on mud flaps in this state are that all tandem wheels, dual wheels, have to have mud flaps on the rearmost part of the vehicle. If it's a dually truck and it's no trailer, then it has to have, but if it has a trailer and that trailer has dual wheels, that last set of wheels has to have some type of mud flaps. The farmers do not get an exemption under this. What I usually try to do is call manufacturers up and let them know that different states have different laws when it comes to this. this and to try to encourage them at least to put a bracket or place where the farmers can add mud flaps if they don't come with them. But it's a new brand of hay trailer that I'm seeing on the roadway, so I just thought I'd pass that out to the farmers when they buy them, that they are required to have mud flaps on the back of them.
All right, and then your writing is as good as mine. So.
Well, I wanted to move on to Governor Perry.
Okay.
Speaking of that, our state has been in a drought, somewhat of a drought off and on since 2011, and Governor Perry has been so kind to not require our farmers to get the hay permit, $10 hay permit, annual permit to carry these cylinder bales. That that proclamation went out June 16th at midnight. I am waiting to see if that will be extended through the summer months, and if that is, I'll pass that on at a later date. But right now, you do get the exemption based on the letter that the governor has written.
All right, and once again, every time I bring in a law enforcement person or a fire safety person, we're now in the mid to upper 90s, and don't leave your kids, don't leave your pets in the vehicles.
A vehicle can warm up as much as 19 degrees in 10 minutes. We've already nationwide already had 10 deaths. Seven of those were in May. Obviously, it's getting hotter, especially here in Texas. And, you know, we think about our kids, but also think about the pets and realize here in Texas that we do have a law. And under the Penal Code 22.10, can't leave a child under the age of 7 years of age no longer than 5 minutes unless he's occupied with another, it's hard to say, this 14-year-old, which I still think is a child, but that's basically what the law is in this misdemeanor offense. So I would be err on caution, just take the kids in with you.
And I don't know why you would leave anything, or I don't know why you would leave anybody or any animal inside a vehicle that's locked with the windows up. And
yeah, even rolling them down, cracking them, people like think that has a lot maybe to do to move some air in that vehicle, but they say has little effect at all on that. Also like to point out people that are traveling across the United States. I tell people all the time, they ask me what reason do I need a CHL license. One of the reasons if you want to travel outside the state. If you do go to the DPS website and go to agreements with other states on the CHL and you lay your cursor on what particular state that you're going to go through, that cursor will tell you whether or not we have a agreement with that state. Based on what I saw today, our West Coast, far as California, Oregon, Washington, and Nevada, we do not have an agreement with those states. And then your northeastern states, it doesn't seem like we have too much agreement. But around Texas, the states bordering Texas, and our mid-state regions, it looks like we're in good shape. So be sure to check that out if you plan on carrying your concealed handgun across the state lines.